Grace to you and peace from God our Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Does anybody here need a car with no steering wheel? Sort of sounds like I'm trying to sell you a beat-up car without all of its parts. But what would I tell you if it's actually a new car with no steering wheel? Just over a week ago, from January 5th to 8th in Las Vegas, there was the annual Consumer Electronics Show. This is the event where the newest technology is unveiled to consumers. And one of the items that premiered was a new car by Cadillac called the InnerSpace. This high-tech, futuristic car looks like something right out of a sci-fi movie. And it has no steering wheel. Because it's a self-driving car, there's no need for humans to use a wheel, so they just got rid of it. In place of the wheel, though, the entire dashboard area for the driver and passenger is a giant touchscreen. The press release described it this way, quote, AI-driven biometric input and interfaces accessible via a large, immersive, and panoramic SMD LED display allow passengers to select from augmented reality engagement, entertainment, and wellness recovery themes for their drive. Thanks to Ultify, Cadillac engineers and authorized third parties will be able to innovate additional themes and features that can be added over the air. Translation, your entire dashboard is like a giant tablet, like your iPad, and it's got different things you can do during your ride. Plus, third parties will be able to make their apps available for your screen, too. So, let me ask again, does anybody here need a car with no steering wheel? Yeah, I know self-driving cars are becoming a thing, but I don't really need one. And to be honest, I don't really want one. I prefer being in charge of the car, thank you very much. I want automatic transmission instead of a stick, but I do want a steering wheel. All right, but the people at Cadillac didn't ask me, so the InnerSpace is still here. Due to its abundance of technology, it can take you where you need to go and entertain you along the way. And yes, it's got the wow factor going for it right now, but honestly, it doesn't seem very practical. And it's probably way out of our price ranges, too. Right? The press release conveniently said nothing about how much this will cost. Well, in looking at today's gospel reading about the famous wedding at Cana, I couldn't help but think of extravagance and abundance. Because, well, Jesus turned all that water into wine. And the text says that there were 6 stone jars, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. So let's say 20 to be conservative. And he turns all 120 gallons of it into wine. That's basically 1.5 bathtubs full of wine. Or over 3,000 glasses. Right. Who in the world needs 3,000 glasses of wine? What kind of party were they having here? And remember, this was near the end of the party anyway, so people had been drinking a lot already. At that point, you need to start cleaning up and calling people cabs to go home. You don't need 3,000 more glasses of wine to pass around. So even though it's a famous story, it's also not really that practical. No party needs that much wine. Just like none of us need the Cadillac InnerSpace car. Well, come on. This is not our life. This is not the real world. In the real world, we might have one glass of wine on a special occasion. We probably drive cars that are not the newest models and already have a bunch of miles on them. We don't normally go out and buy really expensive things. Instead, we clip coupons and use Kroger Plus cards. Right? This is our real life. So no matter how cool it is that Jesus turned 120 gallons of water into wine, no matter how he gets the wow reaction for doing that, it's not really our lives. So why bother paying attention to it? Right? As I heard somebody say, the closest I come in my life to turning water into wine is when I turn beer into urine. So then why does the gospel writer tell us this story? Why should we bother focusing on it? How does it actually connect to our lives? Well, there are two clues that help us figure that out. First, at the end of the reading, it says this. Jesus did this, the first of his signs, in Cana of Galilee, and revealed his glory. And his disciples believed in him. The Gospel of John has no miracles in it. Instead, it has signs. These things that Jesus does that point out who he is. And in fact, near the end of the book, at the end of chapter 20, it says this. Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, you may have life in his name. So the whole point of the Gospel of John is to help people see who Jesus is, help them believe in him, which means trust in him or abide with him, and help them have new life because of him. Right? All of those are very much real-world things. So in other words, Jesus didn't do this sign at the wedding at Cana to show off or draw attention to himself. He didn't even do it to keep the party going. Instead, he did it so that his disciples then, and us today, might believe in him in our actual daily lives. And the second reason this story is important is because our common reading of it actually gets it wrong. When we read this story, we pay attention to the fact that Jesus made 120 gallons of water into wine. We focus on the big quantity that he made. That's what we give the wow reaction to. But notice what the chief steward said to the groom. Notice why he said, wow. Everyone serves the good wine first, and then the inferior wine after the guests have become drunk. But you have kept the good wine until now. The emphasis is not on the quantity of the wine, but the quality of the wine. That's what makes them say, wow. And that helps us redefine what a miracle actually is. Let me put it this way. In this story, we can see three qualities that make up a miracle, or in this gospel, a sign. They are, it's surprising, it's good quality, and it comes from Jesus. So I doubt that any of us will ever be in a situation when somebody magically produces 3,000 glasses of wine. But I bet we will be in situations where we receive a pleasant surprise of good quality that has its source in Jesus. Let me give you an example. Last Sunday, after service, I found that somebody had left a $25 gift card on my desk for our family to go to City Barbecue. And all the note on it said was, Rachel and Kurt, thank you. And they signed it with a smiley face. So I'm not sure what we were being thanked for or who left it for us, but if that was you, thank you. Right? It was a pleasant surprise, good quality, We like City Barbecue. And its source was in Jesus. So that gift card is a modern day miracle. Thank you, if you're the one who gave it to us. Or somebody else shared an example with me this past week. They were dealing with some health issues in their family, particularly with some mobility challenges for a family member. But unknown to them, a friend of theirs arranged for and paid for a new ramp to be installed at the front of their house. The person who told me this was extremely touched by that because it was a miracle. A pleasant surprise, good quality, and the reason for it was Jesus. And maybe you've had an experience like that. Maybe you've had a surprise visit from someone you haven't seen in a while. Maybe somebody offered to help you with your responsibilities so you can breathe a little bit. Maybe you had a creative idea for something, did the thing, it came out great, and you wondered, where did that come from? All right, it wasn't you. It was Jesus. Surprising, good quality, source in Jesus. That's a miracle. And that's the kind of abundance that we can see in our everyday lives. Sometimes people think abundance means having a lot of something, like 3,000 glasses of wine or the latest technology in a self-driving car. But abundance is really about quality, not necessarily quantity. And good quality surprises from Jesus just have to be shared, like wine at a party. You don't want to keep this kind of stuff to yourself. You want others to experience it too. And therein lies why he made 120 gallons of it. Because it's meant to be shared. Nobody needs 120 gallons of wine for themselves. And so now, like the servants who scooped the wine from those big jars, it's now our job to share this same abundance with others. We get to surprise them with his love so that they can come to believe in him too. And even if other people, like the groom at the party, don't know where this abundance comes from, we still know. It comes from Jesus. And whether we are in first century Cana or 21st century Dayton, sharing the abundant love of Jesus is sure to make people say, wow. So in the name of this one whose abundance we share, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.